another episode of Small Town Expectations. I'm Brandy Rose, and with me I have my co-host Haley Bassing.
Hi guys.
We are excited to be with you on this dreary Sunday afternoon. It's October 7th, and we're stoked to bring you another story, another small town experience right here on Small Town Expectations. You can follow us on lots of social media. We're on Twitter. I'm Rad Brandy. Haley is Helsba. You can just, reach her. We should get you a new Twitter handle.
Nah.
Really, it's Helsba. Also on Instagram, Hales_OG. I'm Rad Brandy and Rad Brandy on the snaps. And you can follow us on Facebook, Brandy Rose, Haley Bassing. And of course, you can recommend and follow and like those iTunes 5 stars. That is so, so important for us in iTunes. They have this weird algorithm. I did some reading and I learned that the more 5 stars you get, the better chance somebody's going to be able to find you when they're looking for your podcast or looking for just small town stories or whatever. So instead of having to type in a whole title, as soon as they start typing in like small town X, it'll pop up. The more ratings we get, right now I think we're at 13 ratings, which is pretty cool. But we want to get more. So if you haven't liked Small Town Expectations and given us some stars, and you can say anything really, but those stars are what's really important. And so make sure that you go and scroll down just a little bit and give us some sort of rating. Also, you can recommend that anybody follows our podcast, subscribes to this podcast by subscribing yourself, and also recommending that people follow us and subscribe to this podcast on all social media. Also, if they don't have an Apple phone, because that podcast app is the iTunes app, right? You can recommend that people go to radbrandy.com and they can listen right there. All of the pictures that we take during somebody recording or the pictures that somebody wants us to post, those are all right there at radbrandy.com. So check it out. We're really excited about today's episode. It is kind of a unique episode. It's another one where I don't know the person at all. And Haley knows them a little bit. But this is just a really cool dude. And so it was fun to sit down with him and learn more about him. He's a genuinely just kind-hearted human. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you might describe Campbell.
I'm a very firm believer in everything happens for a reason and people's paths cross for a reason.
Yeah.
We worked together a couple weekends ago at Durango Arts Center. And at first I didn't know who this guy was. And I was about to not give him a chance to learn who he was. But we worked some long gigs together. So we sat in the booth together, sat behind a soundboard together. And we just learned about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really neat. And so he was excited to even hear about your podcast. He was really excited to meet you. But then I think he was pretty excited when we were like, hey, do you want to be on? So
yeah.
He has a lot to offer, a lot to share with the world.
Yeah. So we spent a couple hours up in Durango today while it was raining on our dog, Ellie. We got home and she was a muddy mess and she had to get a bath before we could post this podcast. But we spent a couple hours with Campbell just getting to know him and, letting him tell us his story. So we hope that you are inspired because truly like this, he really is an inspiring guy. We talk about a lot of random stuff. And so you definitely have to listen to this episode. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Sunday. Don't forget to subscribe and like. And now it's Campbell Morgan on Small Town Expectations. This is Campbell Morgan. Do you want to say your last name?
Yeah, Campbell Morgan.
Okay. we can edit that part out. This is Campbell Morgan. He is a fantastic young person that I've recently met through theater world again.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited to have him here. So thank you, Campbell, for being on Small Town Expectations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's great.
So start off just telling everybody just a little bit about yourself.
Cool. My name is Campbell Morgan. I'm 25. I live in Durango, Colorado, and I work at the Durango Arts Center. It's a public art venue, gallery space that people can rent space and use.
Yeah. And you're super, super new to DEC, right?
I am. This is my first week.
Yeah, which is really exciting.
It is.
Cool. Yeah. Just so my experience with the DEC, you know, is always through the phenomenal shows that they put on throughout the year. And I think that one thing that's very special about DEC, and you're going to learn this quickly, is that they, the people who work here in Durango, just do a great job about pushing that envelope and pushing that limit. So that's something,
and
you know,
in what way do you mean that?
They, so, you know, in Farmington, which is another small community of people, they wouldn't show stuff like Rock of Ages or Rent or these other shows, you know? And so that's what's really special about DEC is that they're willing to put this art into the community and put this art out for people to kind of just eat and chew on and enjoy. And that is neat. And
yeah, it is.
And it's something that I think is special about Durango is that they embrace the art that happens here at DEC. So I'm excited for you to be a part of that world.
Yeah, I love this place. Yeah, I was doing theater tech here for a year, and now I'm doing some more administrative stuff. And as far as pushing the envelope, this place is really contemporary, and everyone's just the gallery show that we have right now is full of all the members of the Arts Center. And I talked to something like 86 people as they're signing up and giving me their art pieces or, you know, like a collage or a painting or photograph or something. And no two people were even comparably similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got me so excited to be in this community because like the smallness of it is something that people can speak louder.
Yeah.
And it sounds louder.
It's neat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because so you come from a bigger city. You come from Denver area, right?
Yeah,
so tell us a little bit about that, because I think that what you're experiencing in Durango and what you've lived here for a little while.
Yeah.
And so you've been able to take that perspective growing up in Denver area and then move to this smaller community. And that's been really significant in who you are as Campbell Morgan. And so tell us about growing up in Denver, Boulder area and what that was like for you.
Cool. Yeah. I grew up kind of on the fringes of bigger things, I'd say. I was always living in apartments or townhouses next to highways or on ramps and stuff. And I remember as a teenager going into the city sometimes for shows or to go to an art museum or walk up and down the 16th Street Mall. And the largeness of it was always kind of deafening, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a silence here that I really appreciate. But as a kid, I was always in my own silence. I grew up with a single mom and a sister. And I remember being outside a lot. I would always be like in the neighborhood creek or the woods area. And I'd be writing stories and reading stories about like kids and animals and nature and stuff. So it feels very natural that I came to a place like Durango that has mountains all around or in like a bowl of mountains. And you can run into a black bear on the street in late summer and stuff. So it feels real, just a natural progression from what was kind of a space I grew up in emotionally with in a little bubble of nature within a larger city even.
Yeah. So you being in the city, you actually found yourself more escaping to be in more of a solitude and just kind of, which I don't know. I think that's really neat. And you are a very soft-spoken person. And I think that is part of your personality. You know, some people when they grow up in a big city, they're faster paced, and that's not who you are.
Mm-mm.
And that's
slow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about just some of the things, the adventures and things like that you used to try to find yourself in when you were a kid.
I guess an anecdote I've used before is like I grew up in a private Christian school, and at recess, you'd see all the kids like climbing on the jungle gym or swinging or playing. A lot of kids played dodgeball and four square. But then you'd see, if you're like looking at it from aerial view, you'd see all these kids together. But then way off in the corner of some place, there'd just be the single kid looking like he was talking to himself. And I was just always in my own, like, imaginary world. Like, I remember being really into Pokemon, and I'd, like, have my own Pokemon, and yeah. I was a Pokemon when I was younger and stuff like that. So just, like, the imagination bloomed, and I think earlier in my life, it was kind of an escape from some, like, rough family stuff when I was really small.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just kind of grew out of being a coping mechanism into just the way that I go about life, and I haven't changed at all.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And I think that, I think to just anybody who hears those words from you, whether they know you or they don't know you, they all know that kid, you know, they know the kid that's on the playground that is, you know, being a Pokemon and is just kind of entertaining themselves. And, that's just something that's really cool. And it's something that, you know, when I was young, I always tried to notice that kid that was off in the corner, and I was always trying to be their friend. And sometimes they were like, okay, I'll be your friend. And sometimes they were like, I just want to be alone today, Brandy. Like, you're too much.
You're a good kid. Yeah.
You know? And so, I think for people to hear that, like, this is you, that you are that kid. And as an adult, here you are. And I don't know, I'm just like, wow, there's so much to Campbell.
Yeah. I haven't looked at it, but that's cool.
It is
a cool way to phrase it.
Yes. Yeah. And so tell us now, you know, so this is, you know, that's how you were as a kid. You go through high school.
Yes.
And it's probably something very similar. I'm making assumptions here. Stop me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And so now you're looking for colleges. And so kind of walk us through what that was like for you in a single parent home, you know, knowing that going to a big university that probably was, you know, $50,000 a semester or something like that. Yeah, like, that just wasn't crazy. Very realistic, right? So kind of walk us through what that was like for you, finding a college and deciding on moving south and away from your mom and your sister. What was that like?
It was a strange voyage, I guess. I grew up in the Denver area, and in later high school, I was hiking in Boulder a lot. And so when it came time to pick a college or something, I wasn't really thinking about my life or things or what I wanted to do. I was really into making music. Mm-hmm. I would make just stuff on Ableton or playing around on a keyboard or just like sitting and writing poetry in cars, getting real stoned. I was just kind of a floating high schooler. And then, so I just went to college. Mm-hmm. I got into CU Boulder and I just went there, and it was a huge university. Mm-hmm. I meant to look up how many people are there, but like in the many thousands. And it was a big culture shock for me, mm-hmm. in a way, because there was so many different people from, it's a huge university. There's so many different people coming from all these different places. I was in dorms that were like 13 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the ground floor and my window looked out onto the front door. So I just would sit there and watch everybody like walking in or out and smoking cigarettes and stuff. And during that time, I just took a lot of like religious classes and philosophy and stuff like that, and just got really high, and every day would wander out into the mountains, like the beautiful Flatirons of Boulder. So they're still like my favorite wilderness area to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And just that feeling of being together with tons of different people that I had never met before, and then going off into just like a really beautiful, like, solitary place. And I wouldn't follow paths or anything. I would just bushwhack up the side of the mountain, which has conservation issues, but at the time I was just like exploring and not following paths and stuff. So that was but then, of course, things got messy. I fell in love. It didn't go so well. We were just like two messy-ass kids, and it just blew up. And then I remember going into the financial aid office to like get my next year going, because that's what everybody else was doing. And I remember the guy like typing on the computer and like scowling at the screen, looking over at me and being like, "You can't afford to be here. Like, how did you even do this year?"
Mm-hmm.
And so big existential crisis. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my maternal grandfather is like first generation college. So he did not want me to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up on the reservation of Grand Marais in Minnesota. And so he was like, hey, there's this great school. You can get a tuition waiver down in Southern Colorado, Fort Lewis College. And mm-hmm. he drove me down here one summer. I was heartbroken, like just confused, not really just going along with the motions. But then I kind of just fell in love with the place. And as soon as I moved here for the 2013 school year, I just fell in and it felt just comfortable immediately.
Yeah.
And that's how I landed here, and this will be my sixth year.
Wow.
Living here.
That's cool. So how old are you? That's one question that we haven't answered yet.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what originally you move away from your family, was that hard?
No.
No. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Has it been hard for your mom or your sister or anything?
My sister was already out of the house.
Okay.
She's 3 years younger than me, though. Mm-hmm. So she was like living in a motel with her friends. She's currently traveling up and down the West Coast, just
kind of vagabond
stuff. Yeah. She loves that lifestyle.
Okay.
But, my mom, got really, really into extreme couponing when I left, because she just needed some kind of void, and she would go places and she'd be like, they had to give me $20 or something. And she'd just be always trying to like call me and give me coupons. And when we visited or something, she would just be trying to give me all this useless stuff, like a bunch of binders that she just like got. And I was like, I can't do anything with this, but she's just so excited. And it just filled the void for a while. And
yeah.
I remember like driving around at 3 a.m. with her a couple times, and she would steal newspapers off of people's lawns. She was like getting delinquent and stuff.
Oh,
and
no.
So that was how she coped. But now she's doing great.
Cool.
And yeah, we visit regularly. And
that's
stuff,
cool. So. That's good to hear. We're glad that your mom is healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Adjustment periods are rough.
Yes. So what was the adjustment for you coming down to Durango, and now you're in a place that fits that solitude and fits that state of mind that you were finding yourself in as a kid, and then you were escaping to as a young adult, younger than you are now. And now you're put into this place that is actually those things. What was that adjustment like for you?
It felt immediately comfortable. I've always grown up writing, and when I was in high school, I wanted to be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So then as soon as I got here, I met other like kids my age who were trying to make music together and stuff. And something about Durango is that it's really like a bluegrass community at large. There's tons of other stuff going on, but that's the strongest thing. So I was exposed to a lot of like mandolins and banjos and fiddles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually met a really great friend named Alex Blocker. He makes music. He's from Chicago. He's really great. And he was into the electronic synthesizer sound that I was. I cannot stand a banjo even to this day. I loved going to shows, but I don't connect with it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And once I found him, things just kind of opened up. We collaborated, we made videos together and stuff. It was really, it was a good time. So I settled into the rich artist community of Durango, which is really diverse and present here.
Mm-hmm.
And really great. And something that really suits me as far as this place goes is when there's a smaller community, there's more richness for development. So instead of meeting a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
it's more of like a quality over quantity
mm-hmm.
type thing. And so I've really been able to deepen my relationships with people here, and my relationship to the art that I am making, the books that I'm writing, the friendships that I have, mentorships. And now I'm situated in a good place in the artistic community here and just trying to mine that and go into that and bring out gems. And that is something that I found immediately very appealing and easy with Durango.
Yeah.
That is difficult in a bigger place.
Yeah. And it's purely just the culture of this place.
Yeah.
That is, I feel like that has really just, you've grabbed onto and you have just found a really deep appreciation for. And the way that you are talking about, you know, quality friends over a quantity of friends, that is really significant to small town living and small town life. And I think that is, that's really actually very inspiring. So you may not know that, or you may not recognize that, but it is, it's very inspiring. And so can you, let's see, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, some of the not awesome things maybe that you have experienced living in Durango?
I tried to move away this year. I worked at a summer camp in Southern California at the Idaho Wild Arts Academy. And then I was bumming around LA for like half a month trying to see if that is a place that I could possibly live, because I had built up so many frustrations with the way that I was living here.
Mm-hmm.
And being in a huge place like LA where it takes an hour plus to get anywhere, or that there's just such a volume of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the best music in LA. There's like really the best vegan food I've had ever. And that's been like, that was the hardest thing to come back here from, was the food and like the culture, which is, and the diversity of conversation. It could just get into a conversation with anyone, it felt like, in the spaces that I was occupying in LA. And something that I wasn't being very open to what Durango had to offer, and I was looking at what it wasn't offering me.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a big, huge push towards like social justice in this town that really, really frustrated me. People here, but you see, these are my frustrations talking, and there's so many people here who would disagree with me.
Yeah.
So it was more like the relationship that I was having the place, the walls that I was putting up and not allowing myself to be here authentically and letting in things that could help me. And so when nothing just fell together in LA, the Durango Arts Center needed some help, and like a room in a friend's house opened up, and there were just walls in LA. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. It was really crazy expensive there. And so I came back here, and now I'm allowing myself to be more open to the place. And I needed to get away for a little bit, which, you know, you get the island fever where, like, it's 3 hours to 4 hours to Albuquerque and like 6 to Denver. And there's like beautiful like nature everywhere. There's like Moab, Utah. There's like the Four Corners area. Like the desert is right here. Then you can go like into the mountains. It's a really beautiful place. But as far as people goes, which is something that I feel like I've been craving the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I was feeling like it was sparse. I'd gotten into a rut. So I had to leave for a little bit, examine myself, think about things. And on re-entry into this planet or whatever this world is, I'm feeling a lot better.
Cool.
And meeting you and stuff.
Yeah.
Is an example of that. So.
Well, and you know, we were talking a little bit before we hit record about what I do for a living down in Farmington.
Yeah.
You know, my job at Sexual Assault Services. And then you just mentioned, oh, I have a friend who does some volunteer work with SAYSO, which SAYSO, if you don't know, is the Rape Crisis Center here in the Durango area. And they do a lot of prevention work, and just because I know some of the folks that actually work for SAYSO. And so for you to mention that you have a friend, like, that is That's a group of people who are doing social justice
yeah.
that you maybe didn't know before you moved to LA, or you did know, but you had to step out to step back in and really kind of have a bigger perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And allow myself to be open to that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Haley, one of the conversations that you and Haley had was about the word partner. And she goes, she was like, I think we were doing the dishes one night and she was like, hey, I have a question. And so then, you know, just her and I in our kitchen doing the dishes had this conversation about the word partner and whether or not, you know, a hetero couple can use the word partner. I say 100% yes, you have permission. Yeah. You should.
There are differing opinions.
Yes. But. And that was such a, you know, Haley, you guys were working a festival together or something. Yeah. And it was just like, hey, I've been thinking about this. And Haley was like, hey, Campbell asked me this question, and I gave him my opinion, but what do you think? And I was like, okay, let's talk about this, you know? Yeah. And so I will say this. I know that you feel like you're in a rut, and you feel like you don't know people who have this really broad thinking or this these ideas on the world, right, that you can have conversations with, the way that you talk about having conversations with people in LA. But you have a very special, like, there's something special about you, Campbell, that you can have those conversations with people. Yeah. And you did it with Haley, and it was over the word partner. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, you actually are you're really good at having conversations. And so, yeah, for real. I think you're going to really love being at the DAC, because different types of people are going to come in, and you're going to find yourselves just having very organic conversations about anything, you know? And we live in a very, a little bit of a tumultuous time in politics, and it can be scary, and it can be, there's a lot of just really weird conversations happening sometimes that you're like, huh, when somebody says something and you're like, well, I don't agree with that and I don't think that way. But if you are a person that's able to have a conversation with somebody like that, like, it just makes that perspective and that worldview so much bigger. And I think you can do that.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I just went off on a giant rabbit trail there.
No, that's good.
But
I followed you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just think that's something that is significant for you, right? You go from Boulder to Durango and you're in a rut and you're just like, I don't know what's happening in my life. So you find yourself in LA trying to figure that out and realize you're still a small town guy and there's something that you really love about Durango.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit more about how you have come to this place in your heart where this is your home. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just visiting my mom and when I got back from LA and I was like, well, she's like, why are you going to Durango? And I go, oh, well, that's my home. And she was like, well, you know, I saw her wrestling and herself and she was like, well, I want him to think this is his home.
Mm-hmm.
And she said like, well, it's like not your home. She said some offhanded comment and it just, this has been home base for now going on 6 years. And, it's a place for me to hide. I don't know how exactly to describe this. I'm a biggest focus in my life is inner development, I'd say, and that goes into everything I write about is about that.
Mm-hmm.
All the stories I write fiction and poetry, and it's all about all the characters are in really intense ways being challenged within themselves or something on the outside is reflective of the inside. And that's how I live my life to a degree where I can't live like other people. I can't mm-hmm. live as big. I can't live as fast because I'm very sensitive. So things echo longer than some people that I've talked to mm-hmm. or just the specific relationship that I have with myself and my nervous system is such that I have to be very slow and careful and pay attention. And Durango is an amazing place for me to do that. because it's slow. It's a sleepy mountain ski town. Mm-hmm. There's enough going on with like artists, the art center, the college here, the music scene to be constantly stimulated. You can go out any night and there's going to be something going on. Mm-hmm. It may not be exactly what you want, but it's something. And it's enough stimulation, but enough isolation for me to tread the balance of being overstimulated and understimulated.
Yeah.
And it's a place to hide in that while I develop myself. And then every once in a while, I'll go on some grand adventure. 2 years ago, I was in Copenhagen in Denmark, eating out of dumpsters and living on a boat and stuff. And that was really amazing. And then this summer I was in LA and in the mountains in Idlewild. And, it's a chance to hibernate here. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring of my inner self to go out and shine. And then I can, you know, get into trouble and then come back and think about it and be like, shit. And then, and then I can write about it.
Yeah.
And every time I go somewhere, I write something. So it's a home base, and it is my home.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to kind of blend in or speak as loud as I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about this place.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us more about you. You know, you just mentioned that you're a writer, that you write poetry and fiction, and, just tell us a little bit more about yourself as an artist, as a writer.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to know?
Well, so tell us about, I think you mentioned earlier that you, you know, before we were recording that you've written a book. Tell us about your book.
Yes, it's called Me and the Mayfly, and I wrote it while in Idlewild. It was a really crazy summer. We were kind of overworked. There's like lots of, I was like around a lot of 19-year-olds. It was their first time like not at their parents' house, mm-hmm. or their first summer after college. And then there was me there for some reason, and it was a really interesting mirror to like look at myself and where I was in my life and where I've been and stuff. And then look at this really unique, amazing point in these people's lives. And then, there were a few close relationships with like a roommate there and like his girlfriend. And then, just people there of like getting into depth, and it culminated into like this story that I began writing. And then, at the peak of our stress and our like amazement at this camp, there was a really big fire. Mm-hmm. Someone drove up the mountain and threw road flares out of their window. So one entire side of the mountain is burned, and we had to evacuate like 150 or 200 kids in 20 minutes.
Where's Idlewild at?
Southern California. Okay. In kind of next to Big Bear, Palm Springs, Palm Desert area. Really beautiful, like forest on one side, desert on the other.
Man, somebody legitimately tried to start that fire.
Yeah, it was arson.
Gosh.
Like, road flares out the window. Yeah, and so that was traumatic for all of us on varying degrees. We were staying in a Motel 6 with all these scared international students.
Yeah.
Like 118 humid in the day, 102 at night. Like everyone's stressed out, like lots of screaming, crying. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. And that, of course, got into the book. How could it not?
Like, right.
So those feelings are there. And then what was kind of birthed from the soil of these experiences I was having was this book, Me and the Mayfly.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up to the library here, print it out, staple it, and mail it off to my friends and whoever wants it. So.
Cool. So have you had it edited, and are you working on getting a publisher, any of that stuff?
I really enjoy the the autonomy of self-publishing.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time honing it or editing it myself.
Okay.
And getting feedback from people I trust here mm-hmm. and elsewhere. And it is a finished thing. And I like that I have the power to go print it out myself. And I know all the librarians. We just talk because I'm like stapling 10 copies of this thing.
Yeah.
And, it's, I don't know, it's cool. It's
cool. Fun. Okay. Yeah. Well, awesome. So, you know, I don't want to cut you off, and I want to make sure that you tell all of your story. Is there anything else that you want to share and that you want to make sure you give to people about your experiences?
Of course, yeah. If you want a copy of Me and the Mayfly or anything else that I've written, you can find me on Instagram at _candy_Warhol.
Cool.
And if you DM me, I can get your address and I can Venmo and send you over a copy of whatever and some extra goodies or something.
Awesome. Yeah. And Warhol is Warhol.
Yes.
Just in case, because I Andy want people Warhol. To go and visit your Insta and see all of your really great works. And really, I mean, this has been a cool experience for me, just getting to know you and, you know, being able to give you the space to tell your story. And so I want other people to do the same, you know?
Awesome.
And
thanks.
I know that you wanted to give a couple of shout outs. Is there anybody that you wanted to maybe just give a little, you know, pump a little advertise or something their way?
Really great friend of town, Alex Blocker. You can find him on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube. He has tons of videos.
Okay.
Blocker on Top. And the I Am Music School in Durango, which I've been working with a lot in the past year, and it's they teach music lessons, and all the instructors are amazing music makers themselves, and they have concerts at the I Am Music School regularly.
Cool.
And they're a great community resource as well as the Durango Arts Center.
Cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that, first of all, we put in your description on this podcast, the Candy Warhol, your Instagram. And then also we'll put the I Am Music and, your friend Alex Blocker. We'll make sure that we are putting some extra little tags in there to these folks, just in case you as listeners, you want to be connected to any of these projects that are happening in Durango and in this community. We'll definitely put those in there. So look for those links in this description. And Campbell, it has been seriously just a pleasure getting to know you in this space. And I mean, you picked a great location here in Durango. We're recording at the deck, which is really cool. And I just appreciate you so much being willing to come on Small Town Expectations and share your life, because man, you've really done a lot. So when you're a famous writer, we'll get you back on the show.
Sure. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, it was really great talking to you too.
Cool. Thanks, Campbell. This has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks.